Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
All right, Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, March the 23rd, 2022, 12 minutes past the hour, 53 degrees and cloudy here in Marion. An interesting interview with Mr. Who's running for in Republican primary coming up in May. Does anybody have anything to say about that interview? Give us a 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What an interesting conversation that was. You know, the topic earlier that I was not getting into because I knew we had Mr. Blystone coming up was the altercation at the Beef Expo between he and Governor DeWine. Now, I guess Governor DeWine came up to him, or well, I guess Mr. Blystone approached Governor DeWine and said something about not participating in the debate. And apparently this angered Governor DeWine, allegedly, and Governor DeWine said he was going to kick Mr. Blystone's keister, as we would say. But he didn't say keister. And I also grabbed his shirt, I believe is what Mr. Blystone said. What do you make of all this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. There are a lot of Blystone signs here in Marion. What do people make of Joe Blystone?
All right. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars.
From time to time, that's true.
And the cowboy hat wearing restaurateur is running for office.
Making a lot of news recently.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion of Joe Blystone has changed a bit. I actually was at the event. It was in Springfield. It was an anti-mask event. Sure, people understand my opinion on that topic. I certainly agree with Joe on that one. Where he announced his candidacy, I've been to the restaurant. It's very good. It's a bit of a drive for Marion. It's a drive for my house, but it's an interesting little road trip. You know, I like some of the things he has to say. He is anti-establishment, a non-politician, but he's really out there on some issues. Plus, he is just too conservative. You know me. I'm eclectic, and just talking about DeWine being a rhino, not voting if he doesn't win. Okay, vote for the lesser of evils. I mean, it seems like we do that in every election. But just saying he would stay home, there's no reason for that. I'm not sure what I think about him declining about the vaccine. I would say if you're running for office, you probably should say and probably say why.
Well, we got into that contretemps back in October when I first interviewed him.
He's never going to answer. I mean, he does stick to his guns. I'll tell you that much. He is a man of conviction.
Right, but the confusion I have between October and now, and the only reason I brought it up again, is he is quoted now as saying that he got his vaccines as a child, but he is against this vaccine. So I guess I was confused if he's giving us his personal information that he got his vaccine as a child. Why is this one?
That's the sticking point, but they are different types of vaccines. This is an mRNA, and it's a different kind of condition. Or people might disagree with that. But I think in his case, because he is running for office, just like Donald Trump should show his taxes, people should have disclosure when they're in that spotlight. I mean, you and I don't have to. we're not running for governor. I think he should. Plus, talk about it. That's one of his premises, is this freedom of choice. He discussed freedom of choice with the guns. That's certainly a controversial issue. And that, you know, I would say I'm probably not in favor of this new legislation. But in general, yeah, we have a right to have weapons. But I don't want to take him too far. But I've been known to have my opinion sway a bit. It is a slippery slope with that particular topic. But I think he should answer, you know. And I like the fact that he is firm on how he believes, but is an anti-politician. I mean, like Donald in many ways. But I think he does need to work on appealing to the masses. And again, people like myself that have opinions that can be all over the place. And you know, I like that he's a business owner. I mean, he's self-made. He brings in jobs. He helps the economy. But his arch conservatism is going to turn people off.
Well, when he says I'm against the vaccine, I think that's why people would ask if you got the vaccine. I'm still not sure what
not you or I. You know, because neither you or I are giving. I mean, I think I know what the answer is, but I don't know for sure. But you don't have to tell, and neither do I. But we're not running for governor. I think in this case, it is different than this. You know, this I'm not going to give you my medical history. You know, I said it's between me and my doctor. But I think it would be helpful, and let him use that, Scott, as a springboard to explain why he made that decision. The guy's actually a couple of years younger than I am, and so speaking for people in this age group, why does he think that's the right decision? I mean, he is saying, you know, get the vaccine if you want, don't get it if you don't want it. But let's use him as a case in point. Let's also look at his health. We want the governor to be healthy. I mean, DeWine's in his 70s. He does seem very healthy. You know, he's been around so long, but I never recall any health issues with the guy. So to me, he's a young 70.
Well, what do you make of what might have happened at this beef expo?
I think Blystone needs to watch his temper. That's another issue. Same thing I've said about Donald. Yeah, I like many things that he says and stands for, and many things I certainly don't, but he needs to be a gentleman. And my initial assessment of Blystone was that he was like Trump in some ways, but younger, because Trump, I think, is suffering with age. And that's certainly an issue and will be in the next election if he's part of it, obviously. But Blystone is a gentleman. He's younger, but he's shown that he really isn't a gentleman.
Now, wait, DeWine said he was going to kick Blystone's keister.
Yeah, well, he must have triggered something, because I can't see a man 20 years his senior saying that. So something happened to trigger it.
Well, I think he said, why aren't you going to be in the debate? And I think he did say something about a coward. I think he said that in the interview.
Again, being a gentleman, and that's an issue with Donald. And,
well, should the governor of a state, though, be saying, grabbing a hold of somebody's shirt at a beef expo and saying he's going to kick their...
Well, I would say, surprisingly, Mike DeWine, who you think, as a professional politician and an older man, you know, 20 years older than Blystone, and DeWine's not a very big guy either, I don't believe. Probably wasn't the wisest thing in the world. You know, two wrongs don't make a right.
I don't know. We always talk about...
Back to the Wild West here.
Yeah, but we talk a lot about the politicians and should they show decorum and should they be held to a higher standard.
Yes, they should be gentlemen or ladies. I mean, whatever word you want to use, they should conduct themselves in a dignified manner. And that's one thing that I look at. You know, Obama was wonderful with that. Yeah, I don't agree with everything he had to do, but gosh, compare him to the two presidents that followed him. Look at his mannerisms. Far and away, I would say our most gentlemanly president in my lifetime. And that gives him more points with me, even though there are things I don't like about the guy.
Well, apparently, if Blystone does not win, he's leaving the state.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't. That I heard that, and, you know, he's a non-politician, Scott, and he may just say a few things off the cuff. And those are things you just need to work on. And, yeah, the incident with DeWine, you would think, you know, DeWine being older, being a professional politician, I mean, 50 years, right, he's been in politics. That was kind of surprising. So something got under his skin. Even the calmest, most professional acting people can sometimes have that happen. And I guess there are always traces of the Wild West in our lives. I think in general, Blystone answered the questions. I mean, he seemed glad to be on. I mean, I know you don't give a lot of your own opinion. Do you have a particular opinion about the guy? Do you think he needs to work on some of this, the gentlemanly stuff, like our former president does?
Well, I appreciate that he comes on, and I appreciate that also of Mr. Renacci. I appreciate that of Nan Whaley. Governor DeWine has not been on this time around. He was on last time. So I appreciate when people give the time and do come on and answer the questions.
I put a lot of credence in that. You know, Mary Taylor, she was one of the best guests, one of the nicest people, and I may not agree with everything she says. And Nan Whaley, I can't say I'm a fan politically, but, you know, I admire a female as a mayor of one of our major cities, and I think she's a good person, and she's been a great interviewee. So I take that into account. I don't just look at issues.
I can understand why there are a lot of Blystone signs in Marion, because I think the non-politician, the cowboy hat, the businessman, the fact that he does speak off the cuff. I don't think there's any political answers that come out of his mouth, and I think that that's very appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah. To me, it's because I was originally going to seriously consider voting for him, but he is too far to the right on some issues. Abortion, for example, that's an important issue to me. I understand that I'm the candidate that I see eye to eye with economically and on COVID is probably not going to be, even if the person is pro-choice, not as pro-choice as I am, because as I tell people, I'm as pro-choice as I am anti-mask, and you know how anti-mask I am, which is kind of a libertarian type of belief, and we don't have any candidates like that. So I can live with that, but I have to kind of decide. You know, I sprinkle in my political beliefs every now and then. It's just it's a thanks to those who are dedicated listeners and for you for hosting the show. I do sprinkle in these beliefs, and I have to weigh what's important to me. But I get a sour taste in my mouth sometimes, Scott, with Blystone and just the way that he carries himself. And I understand with Donald we had that, but Donald was on TV. I mean, he's been so well known. He's interacted with so many people. You know, Dr. Ruth even saying, you know, she knows him. And you know, many people, from what I've heard, have said, yes, he's fine in person, but, you know, should he be president? Well, that's another matter altogether. And Blystone, you know, a self-made business owner, and I admire that. He is a smart man, but I'm not sure I'm comfortable with him sitting in the governor's mansion.
The primary is not the end. We still have the election in the fall.
I just, you know, I like the moderate Democrat, Cordray. I wish I could vote for him because I'm not going to agree with him on everything, but I do like the guy. You talk about a very smart man. You know, he was a Jeopardy champion for a reason, and someone who always carries himself well. I'd like to see that. And we have the divisiveness because now DeWine is conservative. I don't see him as moderating the way Kasich did. I don't even know where people get that from. I don't agree with that one bit. And I would like to see a female governor, but I'm not sure about Whaley. But I do, you know, Nan, if you're listening, I do like when you're on the show. You're well spoken, and I admire you just because I may not vote for you or don't agree with you on issues. I mean, I don't like you and respect you. So there's my 3 cents for it, Scott. So you know, take it as it is, and I invite my fellow listeners to call and provide their opinion because that's what it's all about.
All right, thanks, Adam. Bye bye.
Yeah, have a good day, Scott. Thanks.
Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 26 minutes past the hour here on this Wednesday morning. Cloudy Wednesday morning, 55 degrees here in Marion. Any thoughts on the Joe Blystone interview? To me, the whole altercation at the Beef Expo this past weekend is very it's strange to me where politics have come. that two candidates can get together, and a sitting governor actually, I guess, threatened to kick somebody's hindquarters.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, there's a lot of land up there in Alaska that somebody could pick up, and Blystone ought to look into some land up there.
What'd you make of Blystone?
Some of the things he kind of might not sound bad on, but as soon as he started talking about that election being stolen, and, you know, you just, there's no respect. I have no respect for him now. None. That election was not stolen. You listen to that phone call President Trump made to that Georgia's,
was it Secretary of State?
Yeah. And pressured him. I mean, I can see you liking some of the policies that he set, but, you know, that is just something that totally takes you out of even being able to have the office, in my mind.
Do you think Governor DeWine threatened to kick his rear end? Because DeWine doesn't say that. What DeWine says is, he says, I'm not going to go into what I said, but what I did say was a reference to me winning the race, and I expressed to him my confidence that I would defeat him in the race for governor. Do you think DeWine said he was going to kick his can?
I seriously doubt it. You know, it's probably because I don't know what size Blystone is, but he's a small guy.
I don't know.
I could see him grabbing his shirt and kind of telling him something, but I don't think he's telling him he's going to kick his butt.
What do you make of this whole bit with the Secretary of State saying that Blystone must refund over $100,000 in contributions that violate the state's limit on cash donations?
Well, if there's a problem there, he should volunteer to do it.
You know what? I would not be. I don't know if Blystone will win the primary, but I bet you he will come very close in Marion, if not win Marion County. In the primary, I see his signs more than anybody else's. Now, I don't know who the local Republican Party is backing, but I see more Blystones than anybody's signs in Marion, to be honest with you. So, who knows?
Yeah, you know, Marion's definitely, you know, Republican. He's liable to carry it. I just don't understand it myself.
Well, for a guy who's never been a politician and a guy who's never ran for office, to be up against a sitting governor, Mike DeWine, and to be up against Jim Renacci, who's been a politician here in Ohio, and to be doing this well, getting this much attention, you got to give Blystone that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it shakes out. Thanks for calling. Again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. 30 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. If you have any thoughts on hour number one and Joe Blystone, our guest in hour number one, candidate in the Republican primary for governor of Ohio. Again, I come back to what happened at the Beef Expo. I think that's fascinating. If that confrontation did go down, if Governor DeWine did say that to Mr. Blystone, I don't know. It's all very interesting. Any thoughts? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And, you know, this quote, again, is very interesting. We need to take over every elected position from dog catcher to president of the U.S. And we need to go to Columbus and break the whole system in half. What's next is not going to be pretty if we can't solve this at the ballot box.
That's a quote from Joe Blystone from about a month ago when he was in Lima. I don't know what exactly that means, but Mr. Blystone did give us an answer. You know, the Democratic primary does not seem to be generating this much attention. I don't think anybody's threatened to kick anybody's... I'm trying to think of different words for hindquarters, keisters, backsides. Because being a family-oriented radio show, we do not want to say what Governor DeWine allegedly said. Phone lines open, 740-751-4038. Any thoughts, any more thoughts on the Blystone interview? Any thoughts on Wesley Snyder, the president of the Marion City School School Board, resigning this week? From what I read in the Marion Star, it kind of came out of the blue for the superintendent, Arusi, and other people. Hillary Clinton has COVID. Maury Povich done after 31 years. Any thoughts on anything, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. 33 minutes past the hour here in Marion. You know, I went out to the Berwick this past weekend, got a pizza by the door. I think I mentioned that on Monday. Boy, do they have good pizza. Has anybody else been out to the Berwick in Greencamp? Where do you rate their pizza? Do you think they have the best pizza on the block? Guess we stole that one from Donato's. 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. What else is going on here? Well, the Ukraine situation continues on. The COVID conversation with the city council continues on. Will there be a $1,000 bonus given to sanitation, transit, and wastewater employees if they've had the COVID vaccine? I guess we'll find out after a few readings. There was a lot of talk on that last week. That was a very engaging story for the listeners. 740-751-4038. Again, don't forget today, Glenn Coble will be on by himself from 10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Progressive Life with Glenn and Dr. Feynman, 12:15 to 1 p.m. Then we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m. Live at 5, The Show with No Name, with Pastor Craig, Terry Tackett, Nate, 5:15 to 6, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:15 until 7. Wonder if this Blystone interview will be a topic of conversation tonight on the Live at 5 show. The Show with No Name. To me, most of this is not political. I understand it's a race for governor, but if it were another state and a sitting governor walked up to a candidate and said, I'm going to kick your can, and not use the word can, that would be, it's almost like one of those bizarre stories you see on the wire in the morning. Kind of, can you believe this story or not? We'll see how it all shakes out. 740-751-4038. Anything on your mind that we've talked about, or anything on your mind that we have not talked about? You know, the other morning I was talking about gypsies, and I believe they like to be called travelers now. But what's fascinating to me about that whole bit is I don't think people used to be scared to death of gypsies, that they were going to come take your kids and they were going to take your silver and they were going to do all kinds of things. But that, I don't even know if that ever happened. I don't really ever see any reports of that. And why wouldn't you just call the police if something like that was happening? Does anybody have any family stories? Maybe somebody was a child when these gypsies would come to town, or maybe you heard from your grandfather or your grandmother or so on and so forth. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I think that's an interesting topic that does not get explored. 740-751-4038. You know, we had a trivia question the other day that never got answered. We were doing newspaper trivia. Well, let's take the phone call here, and we'll come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, people used to believe that gypsies could put hexes on you.
Well, yeah, there was that too, but the thing I always heard was they would take the children and they would take your silver.
I haven't really heard that, but, you know, there was always a fear, you know, people always believed the gypsies, you know, could put a hex on you or whatever.
But nobody seems to talk about them anymore. Now, I know there are still travelers out there, which I think is what they're called now, but there's no worry or anything.
No, I think that gypsy thing was, you know, years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people...
Law enforcement years ago wasn't as good as what it is today, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true, but I remember stories from people who lived back in those days when they used to have the, what was it, party line telephones. They would ring the line and let everybody know that the gypsies were in town and to hide your silver and hide your kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know years ago, in the 50s, my dad, you know, did some drag racing and stuff. He used to race in 95. And they could outrun the cop cars. You know, and the cop cars didn't have great radios and stuff. And, you know, they'd outrun them, go home, hide their car.
And just kind of go on down the road.
Yeah. Nowadays, no, you're not... You're not outrunning them. You're not outrunning their radios either. You know, they're going to get you.
That's for sure. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
740-751-4038. Phone lines are open, 39 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. 55 degrees and cloudy here in Marion. And the if you didn't get to hear the Joe Blystone interview, I'm sure it will be up on the website very quickly. WWGH1071.com. Just go to the Scott Spears tab, and it should be one of the first interviews up there. All right. As I was saying, the other day we had a newspaper trivia question I don't think we ever got answered. Now, this is something that would have to be Googled. The second American newspaper came out of Boston. What was it called? We know that the first American newspaper also came out of Boston, but the second one did too. What was the second newspaper that came out of Boston called? 740-751-4038. Did we get all of the other questions answered the other day? I believe we did. Well, here's a new trivia question when it comes to newspapers. I think this is interesting. The earliest newspapers were weeklies and monthlies. When did daily newspapers become common in the U.S.? Now, this would be a decade, would be the answer. Now, like you could say 1860s, for example. That would be an answer. So if you get within 20 years, I'll give you the answer. But the earliest newspapers were weeklies and monthlies. When did daily newspapers become common in the United States? And I'll give one more question here today. Many viewed the Stamp Act of 1765 as the end of American newspapers. What did the Stamp Act require that publishers were against? Now that is kind of an interesting... That's kind of an interesting answer. I did not know that.
So again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038, 41 minutes past the hour. Questions are, many viewed the Stamp Act of 1765 as the end of American newspapers. What did the Stamp Act require that publishers were against? The earliest newspapers were weeklies and monthlies. When did daily newspapers become common in the U.S.? And if you get within 50 years on that one, I'll give you the question. And we've also got the second newspaper, U.S. newspaper, was in Boston. What was its name? 740-751-4038. Does anybody know the answer to any of those questions? 740-751-4038, 42 minutes past the hour here. WWGH radio time. And again, I do want to thank Dylan Davis for being on yesterday. It's just so great to hear of a Marion native making it, opera singer, down in Louisiana, Shreveport, I believe he said, Shreveport, Louisiana, and a very well-spoken gentleman. Class of 2013, Harding High School. Did you enjoy the Dylan Davis interview? I thought that was very fascinating to learn what's going on with a Marion native. We've got a lot of people doing really good things. And that's good to see. It's good to see and good to hear. You know, it's nice when people stay here and do things, but there's nothing wrong with going out into the world and doing well in your profession. And I think that's what somebody like Dylan certainly has done. 740-751-4038. Little quiet out there this morning. 740-751-4038. Again, the three questions we have on the table. Who's got their thinking cap on this cloudy Wednesday? The second American newspaper came from Boston. What was the name of the second American newspaper? And the two new questions that we introduced this morning. The earliest newspapers were weeklies and monthlies. When did daily newspapers become common in the U.S.? And if you come within 50 years on that one, I'll give you the answer. And it's a decade, like 1850s. It would be an answer like that. Last question. Many viewed the Stamp Act of 1765 as the end of American newspapers. What did the Stamp Act require the publishers that publishers were against? What did the Stamp Act of 1765 require that newspaper publishers were against? And they thought this was the end of American newspapers. What was the Stamp Act of 1765. Does anybody remember learning about that in school? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Say 1900.
1900. Not 1900, but that's a good guess.
You know, a lot of your early newspapers was actually news sheet.
That's true. Well, yeah, they were not...
They were like the paper, you know, business today was several pieces.
No, but I'll tell you, in the early 1900s, if you look at some of those Marion Stars, I think that's when the newspapers were at their height. Many pages, big pages, heavy newspapers, lots of stuff.
Yeah, I think they were daily then.
Yeah, I think they were daily by that point, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks okay. for calling. All right, 740-751-4038. 46 minutes past the hour. Anybody else have a guess on this?
When did newspapers become dailies instead of weeklies or monthlies here in the United States? Why did people think the Stamp Act of 1765 was going to be the end of newspapers? It required publishers to do something they did not want to do. What was that? 740-751-4038. And again, the second newspaper in America was from Boston. What was its name? The first one was from Boston as well. 740-751-4038. 47 minutes past the hour. Also still taking comments on any of the subjects we've talked about this morning. Joe Blystone appearing with us in hour number one, answering a lot of pertinent questions as we head into our gubernatorial primaries in May. I don't know how that's all going to shake out. Turnout's going to be interesting. I don't know if a lot of people are going to turn out or not. I know we have an interesting county commissioner primary going on here in Marion with Ken Stiverson and Jason Schauber and Dr. Davis. That's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. That's in the primary season. Then we'll go into the fall with the main election. Lot of stuff coming up. 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. A little more challenging questions here this morning on WWGH. Let's see here if I can pull up a question like we had the other day. Let's see here. Okay. Well, the family question. I know everybody loves the Family Feud. Okay. Let's do this and see if we can get this done in 10 minutes. 49 minutes past the hour. The question is, what part of a newspaper would a teenager likely read first? Which part of a newspaper would a teenager likely read first? Four answers. Four answers in 11 minutes. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Four big answers here to get in 10 minutes. Which part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? 740-751-4038. 50 minutes past the hour, 55 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. All right. Go ahead, caller.
I have two answers, Scott. Let's go for sports.
Sports is number two on the list.
Okay. I'll defer to my colleagues in the listening audience for the rest of them.
All right. Thank you. Sports is number two. Go ahead, caller.
Guessing they read the comics first.
Comics is number one. You got it, John. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
We've got sports and comics. Go ahead, caller.
I was going to say sports or comics.
They're both on there. One and two. Okay, thank you. We've got sports and comics. Number one was comics. 51 people said that. And sports got 38 people. But there are still two more answers, 51 minutes past the hour here. Which part of a newspaper would a teenager likely read first? 740-751-4038. Which part of a newspaper would a teenager likely read first? Comics number one, sports number two. Still have two answers here. Are we going to get them? 51 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What are the remaining
two answers. Which part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? 52 degrees, 55 degrees, cloudy skies here in Marion, 52 minutes past the hour here. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038.
Go ahead, caller.
How about horoscopes?
Horoscope is number three on the list. You got it.
Thank you.
Horoscope shows up at number three on the list. So one left to go. What will it be?
Go ahead, caller.
Classified. Ahead,
no caller. Classifieds on the list.
The classifieds do not make this list. So far, we've got comics, sports, and horoscope. What is the final answer? Which part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? 740-751-4038, 53 minutes past the hour. Do want to remind you, I will not be in tomorrow or Friday. Tomorrow will be best of programs from 8 until 10 a.m. And then Friday morning, Adam will be on with Pastor Whitaker for the pastor spot from 9:10 to 10 a.m. And from 8:10 until 9 a.m., we're not sure about yet, but I'm sure it'll all shake out before Friday. 740-751-4038. Which part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? We've got comics, sports, and horoscope. One answer left. 740-751-4038. You know, tonight, I believe, is DeWine's State of the State, which I don't know if that's being covered on television or not. I know a lot of the Columbus news stations are going to stream it on their web pages, but I don't know if they break into programming for that one or not. Usually not. So that's showbiz. 747-514-038.
Go ahead, caller.
How about the front page?
Not the front page. Go ahead, caller.
How about the comics?
Not the Well, comics was number one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just turned Joe on. All right.
No problem.
Bye. Yeah, comics was number one, sports was number two, and horoscope was number three. We still have one answer left. Which part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? We've got comics, sports, and horoscope. What is the fourth and final answer? 740-751-4038, 55 minutes past the hour here. 55 degrees, now it says partly sunny skies. So getting a little better here today on what is supposed to be a nice day.
Go ahead, caller.
How about the editorials?
Not the editorials. Go ahead, caller.
How about Ann Landers? Or not, Dear Abby or whoever she is.
Are they still in there?
Sure.
Now they've both went on to their reward at this point, haven't they?
Well, yeah, but so is Charlie.
Well, that's true, but are they just repeating their columns?
I don't know, or if this is a cousin or aunt or uncle or somebody's doing it.
Somebody.
I don't know.
But it's
still there.
It is, yeah. Not on the list, but a good guess.
Okay, bye.
Go ahead, caller.
Ads for a new car when they're 16.
You know, you would think so. I know they're perusing those, but not on this list. Can you believe it?
All right, thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right. What part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? Comics, sports, horoscope, and what?
Go ahead, caller.
Did somebody get it yet?
No.
Let me go with the front page.
Not the front page.
Not the front page. What part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? We've got comics, sports, horoscope, and one more. What's the final section? 56 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. Glenn Coble comes up when I'm done today here at 10 a.m. He'll be on from 10:15 until 12 noon. Progressive Life with Glenn and Dr. Feynman from 12:15 to 1. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate, 4 o'clock. Show with No Name at 5. And Trinity Baptist Church at 6. Go ahead, caller.
How about the police report?
Not the police reports. The police reports do not make a showing here. 57 minutes past the hour, WWGH radio time. All righty, go ahead, caller.
What about the weather?
Not the weather, but that's a good guess. The weather does not make a showing here, but we all love to talk about the weather. That is for sure. And again, we do thank Joe Blystone for coming on this morning, talking about things in Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
About the obituaries.
Not the obituaries. The kids are not reading the obituaries. It's been an interesting morning. And again, as I say, we thank Joe Blystone for coming on because any candidate that wants to come on and speak, we appreciate. That is important because I know there are a lot of people who vote out there in our listening audience, and this might be the only chance you get to hear a local candidate on a local station. I'm not saying it doesn't happen other places, but we try to make it happen as often as possible. 58 minutes past the hour, 55 degrees and partly sunny skies here in Marion. Is anybody going to get the final answer? What part of a newspaper would a teenager read first? We've got comics, sports, horoscope, and what is the final answer? It begins with an E. E as in egg. Can anybody answer in the last minute? What is it? 740-751-4038. Down to the final 60 seconds. Begins with an E. Section of the newspaper. 740-751-4038. 30 seconds left to go. Is anybody even going to get in with a guess? People are saying, what part of the newspaper begins with an E that teenagers would want to read? 14 seconds left to go. Well, I guess we're not going to get it in. The fourth answer, the entertainment section. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor best known for his role of Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner.
You have always lived a very public life, certainly since Mary Tyler Moore. Is that tough when people constantly come up to you, say hello, want to take your pic, especially with cell phones? Everybody's got a picture, a phone, and